Welcome to Test All Things. Test All Things is an outreach of Tower to Truth Ministries, and I'm your host, Fran Sankey. You can find us on the web at towertotruth.net. Test All Things is a Bible discernment evangelistic program dedicated to creating an awareness of and biblical answers to false religious teachings opposing Christianity today. Today we'll be dabbling into the paranormal and the occult with my guest, who's someone very acquainted with it. Her name is Marcia Montenegro, and she'll be with me to discuss the occult and her book called Spellbound, The Paranormal Seduction of Today's Kids. Marcia's ministry is CANA, which stands for Christian Answers for the New Age. Marcia, in her days before the Lord, practiced as a professional astrologer for 8 years. She was also involved for over 15 years with other New Age and occult beliefs and practices, including inner light consciousness, Tibetan and Zen Buddhism, Hindu teachings, and psychic development classes. She also participated in other things such as past life regression, numerology, spirit contact, and seances. Marcia is a wealth of information on this topic, and she's here today to educate us on the dangers of the occult. Welcome to the show, Marcia.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on, Fran.
Marcia, your book, I have it in my hot little hands. Tell me, why did you write this book?
Well, actually, I was asked by the publisher, David C. Cook, to write this book. And so that's why I wrote it. But they felt there was a need for a book out there from a Christian perspective on the occult, particularly as it applies to young people and how they're exposed to it in the culture or to the concepts of the cult, of the occult in the culture. So that was the overarching purpose of the book.
Well, Marcia, you have quite a past resume. How did you get involved in the occult in the first place?
I was interested pretty young in the supernatural and in other religions, even though I had been going to church, mainly due to my mother making my sister and myself go. But my family wasn't really a Christian family, so I wasn't raised with a Christian home life. And I had an interest in these other religions, and in college this increased to include especially Eastern religions and also psychic powers, talking to the dead. And then I got interested via Eastern religions in reincarnation, believing that when you die you come back again, and you come back many times for many lives. And I started believing in that after college, and it wasn't an overnight thing, it's a gradual thing. And then I gradually got interested in, you know, specific Eastern religions like Tibetan Buddhism and Zen Buddhism, and I got more interested along with that in these paranormal experiences, and did a lot of reading, eventually deciding to study astrology, and I became an astrologer in Atlanta, Georgia in 1983, and started practicing professionally while still, you know, doing Eastern meditation and reading in other areas. So it all kind of connects together, and once you step into one of these areas, often you find yourself drawn into other things too, because there is a connection between all of them. And I don't think anybody says, oh, I'm going to get involved in the occult. You know, nobody thinks that. It's just an interest in usually one or two particular things, maybe tarot cards or numerology. And then gradually you just get in deeper and deeper.
It's a slippery slope, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more than a slippery slope. I would say that it's a deliberate seduction by Satan. And I think that these kinds of things, like the things I was involved with, are very, very seductive. They're very interesting and intriguing. Often you learn these things to understand yourself better, and most people are fascinated with themselves. And so, you know, it just kind of draws you in that way. So I see it very much as a seduction.
Now, I think there's some confusion out there. Is there a difference between a cult and the occult? And if so, what is it?
Oh, yes. Yes, a lot of people do get confused. Cult, C-U-L-T, is a term used for an organization, usually a religious organization, that has very specific way of running itself. It's very authoritarian. Usually people who belong to it do not get information on other beliefs, and sometimes they're not allowed to if they're isolated from other people, which isn't always the case. But it's people don't question the beliefs in that organization. And from a Christian viewpoint, also a cult can be a religion that claims to be Christian but actually does not match up with the historical Christian faith. For example, the Mormon Church would be an example. The occult, on the other hand, is a term describing a set of practices that are associated with various beliefs, and traditionally these practices and beliefs have been hidden or kind of secret from whatever the mainstream culture was, so people had to go off and learn them from particular teachers, or they had to have certain books that were hard to come by. So there's this sort of secretiveness in the past connected to the occult that we still see somewhat, but not as much in our culture, because now it's just easy to get this information. So the occult is a completely different category from cult, although I want to say real quickly, a cult can also be involved in the occult. So that can happen, but it's still two separate things. Now, the occult can be described as having three main categories, which helps people understand it. And those three categories are divination, which some call fortune-telling, sorcery or magic, and contact with spirits, which usually means contact with the dead. So those are the three areas of the occult. So you're dealing with hidden meanings, hidden powers, and hidden creatures or beings. And those practices are listed completely in Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12.
If you just join me, I am talking with Marcia Montenegro. You can contact Marcia at ChristianAnswersForTheNewAge.org, where you'll find Marcia's testimony, book and movie reviews, and articles on many New Age topics. You can also check out her book called Spellbound, The Paranormal Seduction of Today's Kids. Marcia, you talked about three categories of the occult. You talked just briefly about divination. Can you tell me again what divination is, and do we see it at work today?
Yes, you know, it's interesting because when I first started talking about these things a number of years ago, very few people knew what divination was. When I asked people, do you know what it is, you know, usually, if there was a pastor in the audience, the pastor would raise his hand, and maybe one other person. I mean, nobody seemed to know what it was. And what changed is that after the Harry Potter books came out, and as far as youth groups go, when I would ask youth groups, do any of you know what divination is, or is that word familiar, then about 75 to 90% of the kids would raise their hand. And the reason is because Harry takes a class called divination in the Harry Potter books. And so a lot of adults now have read the books too, and so the term is a little more familiar to people because of Harry Potter, which I'm not saying is a good thing, but divination is usually sometimes called fortune-telling. The reason I don't like the word fortune-telling is that it implies all that you're doing is telling the future. And I think traditionally that was the way it usually was, but it has changed a lot in contemporary occult practices. But divination is a way of getting information beyond the normal means. So you're not getting the information by reading it or somebody telling you or some typical way. You're getting it supernaturally, or you're getting it by reading a hidden meaning into something. So looking at someone's hand, the lines on the hand, the palm reader is seeing a meaning in the way the lines are on the hand. Or an astrologer is reading a meaning from the position of the planets at your birth. Or a numerologist is reading a secret meaning in the numbers. So there's a meaning that just, you know, to everyday person, it's just, well, that's a number, that's the planet Mars or whatever. There's no meaning to it. But the occult always has a hidden meaning. Tarot cards have a meaning to the images on the cards. So that is a hallmark of an occultic activity, and that is divination. Divination can also be getting information from a spirit, which of course people who practice the occult think that this could be an angel, or it could be a dead person, or their spirit guide, but biblically speaking, any kind of spirit assisting somebody doing this is going to be a fallen angel, otherwise known as a demon. But this is not what people who do it believe. So you can get, now some of the examples of I gave, like astrology and palm reading and numerology, those are all typical forms of divination that most people today have heard of or come across or maybe even engaged in.
How about sorcery? What is that, and is that around today? And by the way, you have about 1 minute to answer this question.
Uh-oh. Sorcery is trying to gain power, usually through contact with spirits, gods, or powers, and practicing techniques to supernaturally alter reality. It's also called, today people who practice it call it magic, and they usually spell it M-A-G-I-C-K, and this is to make it different from stage magic, which is just tricks. This is not tricks. This is actually where you're trying to supernaturally alter reality through special rituals or techniques or calling on supernatural beings.
So a professional astrologer, tell me, is astrology and astronomy the same thing?
Definitely not. Astronomy is the scientific study of the heavenly bodies and outer space. And astrology is the belief that the position of the planets and the sun and moon have a meaning for people on Earth. So the planets can have a meaning for an individual based on their birth chart, and also it could be for a country or a building. When a building is dedicated, for example, you could actually do a chart based on that moment, and the astrologer would interpret it as representing things about the building or maybe its success or whatever. So astrology is definitely based on this belief in a hidden meaning in these planetary positions.
Last week we talked about divination, we talked about sorcery, magic. Those involved in the occult, I think some people would think that these are the dummies of America, these people who just couldn't fit in, they have a low grade point average. Is that true?
Yeah, that's not true. And unfortunately, a lot of people do have that view and can't understand why anyone would be interested in these things. Actually, a lot of very, very bright people are interested, and a lot of bright teenagers get interested in these kind of things because it's not the normal thing that people study. It's different. Some of it is actually very complicated. For example, for astrology, in order to qualify for a business license in Atlanta, Georgia, I had to take a 7-hour exam. And this was formulated and graded by the Board of Astrology Examiners in Atlanta, but we took the exam at City Hall. Now, this is unusual. Most cities don't have this. But the astrology itself, for example, there are just tons of books on it, and astrologers feel that they could study their whole life and never master it. And some of the other areas of the occult, such as ritual magic, are also very complicated. And I see this as a way for Satan to get people intrigued and they're drawn in, and then they just keep going because it's like an endless fascination for them, and you really start to invest yourself in it, so you don't want to give up on it. And I think that that's one reason it seems so interesting to people. I mean, Satan's very crafty. He's not a dummy, and we know from the Bible he's not wise, but he's crafty and cunning. And he knows human nature, so he knows what interests us. So he's not just going to have things out there that people who aren't very bright are going to like. He wants to get, you know, more people than that. And so all these things can be fascinating to smart people as well.
Does the occult have a standard or a creed? Like, is there a standard of objectivity or a standard of truth?
No. Generally speaking, and of course when we talk about the occult, we're talking about a lot of different areas, and, you know, people in certain areas aren't going to see things exactly the same as other areas. For example, astrologers aren't going to see things exactly the way people who do ritual magic see things. They're very, very different aspects of the occult. But generally speaking, there is no absolute truth or absolute right or wrong in the occult. Especially in terms of a moral right and wrong, there's a sort of outlook that everything has its dark side. And so there is no absolute good and bad, but the dark side and the light side are kind of complementary. They seem to be opposite, but they really aren't. And everybody has their dark side, and this is, and some people may say the shadow side. This is a very common view in the occult, and it's not seen as evil. This dark side is usually not seen as evil. In fact, this kind of view is much stronger in Wicca and in ritual magic, in the sense that the dark side is seen there as having strength and power. So the idea is that you don't fool around with it before you're ready, but when you have advanced enough in your knowledge and your practice, you can then begin to get involved in, quote-unquote, the dark side, because that's where the real strength and power is, although they do acknowledge that it's dangerous, usually. So it's seen as dangerous, but not evil.
If you just join me, I'm speaking with Marcia Montenegro. Is man basically good or basically evil?
In the occult, people would probably say man is basically good but has a dark side. So the concepts of good and evil, the way a Christian understands them, is not the way they would even use those terms, that's why it's hard to answer that question. I don't think they go around and consciously think man is basically good. Now, in the New Age, people do think man's basically good. In fact, they think man's basically divine. And some people in the occult, for example, in Wicca, some people believe everyone has the goddess within them. But the idea of man being basically good or evil is not really relevant. I think they see things more in terms of what you do than what you are. So you can do things that might not be the best thing to do. Whether or not they would call it evil would really depend on who you're talking to in the occult. I know when I was an astrologer, we didn't use those terms at all, good and evil. We didn't even use the terms good and bad. When I was doing a chart for a client and I saw aspects in the chart that I thought indicated a weakness in the person, you know, maybe even something that would most people would consider bad, I would call them challenging. I would say these are challenging aspects to your character, or these are challenging conditions. And the idea was that the person could, you know, meet those challenges head on and turn them around into something productive. And I think that tends to be more of the idea in the occult than the idea we're good or evil.
How about fantasy? Are fantasy and the occult the same thing, or can one lead to the other?
They're not the same thing. I think fantasy, there is such a thing as healthy fantasy, because it's based on the use of the imagination. And God made us with imagination and the ability to be creative. And the reason we can be creative is because we're made in God's image and He is the creator. And so we have the ability to be creative in music and art and, you know, fashion and many ways. And fantasy is a particular way of being creative in literature and movies. And it can be done in a healthy, morally sound way. The problem is that a lot of fantasy today incorporates elements of the occult and mixes it together. So you get, you know, I'll give an example, Harry Potter. You have elements of fantasy in the book that are perfectly harmless, that aren't occultic, that are just imaginative things, and there's a lot of it in those books. But then you have real occult practices going on there, such as doing casting spells and doing astrology and taking a class called divination. So you have it mixed in, and people tend to think, well, if you're against Harry Potter, you're against fantasy, and that's not the case at all. They can be separated.
What if somebody says out there, you know, I don't know why you're talking to me about the dangers of the occult. My paranormal practices work. As a matter of fact, I cast a spell on somebody and Mr. Handsome asked her out the next Friday night. Did the spell really work?
Yes, there's the view that if this works, then it's okay to do it. First of all, that's not a good criteria, because sometimes I think things can work to a certain extent by demonic power. So that doesn't mean that it's from God just because it seems to work. But I think in most cases, things appear to work because they're things that would happen anyway. So if someone casts a spell for a particular purpose and then that thing happens, it could have happened anyway, or it could happen because there's other things going on behind the scene. That doesn't mean that the spell works. I personally don't think people who are doing magic or casting spells actually have the power. I think they are being used by a power greater than themselves called Satan. And I think, I'm not saying that they're possessed, but I think that because of what they're doing, they have opened a door to something very evil. And that evil personal being will use them to keep them in what they're doing and to draw other people in it. Because if magic doesn't seem to work, or astrology doesn't seem to work, or palm reading doesn't seem to work, none of these people will have clients. So there has to be a certain effect of these things where it appears to be helpful or appears to have some kind of credibility to it.
The occult. Marcia, why should we discuss this topic with others, and should we discuss this with our kids, or is it something maybe too spooky for them?
Yeah, a lot of people think maybe we should just stay away from this altogether. However, we find occult practices discussed throughout the Bible, especially Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12, which lists all the practices of the occult, and then you have passages in 1st and 2nd Kings about the various kings there who fell away from the Lord and started practicing divination, sacrificing their children to false gods, practicing sorcery. You have the woman in Acts 16 with the spirit of divination. You have Elymas the sorcerer in Acts, I think, 8 or 9. And you have people burning their magic books after coming to faith in Christ in Acts 19. So God definitely addresses these issues, and of course He denounces these practices. These kind of things have never gone away. They have been, as far as we know, they go way back to the earliest time of man, and they have never gone away. They just stay around, usually taking different forms depending on the culture that they're found in. But they are definitely here, and in our culture in particular, these things are very intriguing to a lot of young people. And not only that, but some publishers actually publish books to attract teenagers. For example, Llewellyn is an occult publisher. They publish books on Wicca and magic that are especially done to appeal to teenagers. There's, of course, the Internet. I mean, you know, kids today have been growing up with the Internet. They can find almost anything they want on it. It's not hard to find this information. So children and teenagers are exposed to this, also through television shows and movies that have themes of magic or maybe psychics or people contacting the dead. I see it on TV all the time. In fact, I was just at Blockbuster today, just to give you an example, and I was looking for a movie, and I just would I would see a movie that looked maybe this might be good, and I'd pick it up and turn it around and read what it said on the back. And the first three I picked up all had to do with a character having paranormal powers. Two of them were having to do with a woman who had psychic abilities. And these were completely different movies that I picked up almost at random. And I was thinking, okay, I just need a movie. I don't want anybody who's who's psychic. And sometimes it's even hard to find that. So I think children and teenagers are exposed to this whether we like it or not. And the problem is the church doesn't address it very often. You just never hear anyone talk about this stuff much in church. So kids, you know, get curious, some of them, and they start looking up stuff, maybe on the Internet. And I have known young people who have gotten involved in the occult through the Internet. So, therefore, I believe parents and people in church should be willing to bring this topic up, show the young people what the Bible says about these things, tell them that we don't need to be frightened, but we need to stay away from these things because God warns us about it, and God is displeased with these activities, and they don't have anything to do with Him.
Absolutely. You mentioned divination, fortune-telling. What's the difference between prophets in the Bible who foretold future events and psychics today who kind of do much of the same thing?
Yeah, a lot of people think maybe they are almost the same thing, but prophets in the Bible were clearly chosen by God. He chose that particular person, and He gave a revelation to that person to pass on to whoever God wanted to pass that message on to. And the prophet had nothing to do with it, basically. I mean, it wasn't because the prophet had any special abilities or was even a special person. God just empowered them to have this revelation and pass it on. A psychic is somebody who usually, although they may claim they have a special ability, they usually have to practice techniques to access the information. But the main difference is that the messages they are giving people have nothing to do with God, have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. In the Bible, we see that the messages from prophets had to do with honoring God, obeying God, remembering who God is, or they had to do with prophecies concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. And so all the messages were tied in with the history of Israel, the Messiah, and what God was doing. Psychics are giving messages that are more along personal lines for people. Even if God is mentioned, it is not the biblical God. And psychics are not focused on God at all when they're giving these messages. So there's a huge difference.
If you just join me, I'm speaking with Marcia Montenegro. Her ministry is Christian Answers for the New Age. You can find her at ChristianAnswersForTheNewAge.org. Psychics and mediums, you were just talking about them. Are they really channeling dead loved ones from another realm?
I do not believe they are. God very clearly forbids trying to contact the dead. I do think sometimes these people are getting information. I think sometimes it's just maybe coming from their imagination. But I think sometimes they're getting it from fallen angels called demons. And I think this is very possible. And one of the reasons I say this is because as an astrologer, I had one main spirit guide and I had other spirit guides. And most astrologers, well, every astrologer I knew, psychic, tarot card reader, palm reader, they all have spirit guides. And most of them are very aware of this. Even Sylvia Brown and John Edward, who are both mediums and have written books, especially Sylvia Brown, who's written a number of books, talk about having guides. So this is a commonly accepted thing among people who do this. And these guides, of course, are demons. Now, demons can observe things, and they can know things about your past and your present. So I think that when a medium is saying they're getting a message from your dad, Uncle Harry, let's say, and he says, oh, your Uncle Harry loved boats, and he had a boat, and he wanted to live by the ocean, etc., and you're thinking, wow, that is so true. That's so true. He must be really talking to Uncle Harry. Well, there's nothing hard for, you know, for a demon. It's not hard for a demon to know that. You know, this is something from the past. So I personally think that that's how they get some information that's accurate, because I know when I did astrology charts, I felt guided through the chart, and often things would come into my head about the person that just seemed to come from nowhere, and it would be accurate.
So just because a spirit would channel truthful information, it doesn't mean that the spirit is trustworthy.
Right. Right, and in fact, Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 3 addresses that specifically. It's where God says that if a dreamer of dreams or a prophet who are false, if their dreams or prophecies come true, but they have you or they're enticing you to follow other gods, do not listen to them or pay attention to them. And God specifically says in that passage, he's implying, I think, that what they say might come true or might be accurate. But if they are not honoring the one true living God, then have nothing to do with them. So we can't go by whether or not the psychic is being correct or not.
What if somebody out there, maybe an 18, 19-year-old, says, you know, this is just a game. It's not dangerous.
Yeah, there are a lot of games that have occult themes, unfortunately. And what I usually tell young people is that it desensitizes you, because the occult terms and concepts that you're encountering in the game, are you're getting used to that. It's becoming familiar to you. And so if you encounter it elsewhere, you're not going to be frightened by it or find it strange, because you're going to already be used to that. So it desensitizes you. For some kids, it can get them interested in trying to find more information on the real thing. And I think that, in fact, I know a couple of cases where that has happened. I know more than a couple of cases where that happened. A lot of people say, oh, it's just a game. Nobody's going to get involved in the occult because of a game. But excuse me, I do know some people that have told me, without me even asking them, they have told me this is how I got involved in the occult. So those games can create that kind of interest, and I think that what we put in our mind is very important, because once it's in our mind, we can't get it out, and we don't want to put unhealthy or evil things in our mind.
Last question, about a minute, Marcia. What if somebody says they have just strayed so far into the occult that God would never forgive and accept them? How would you respond?
No matter how far you have gone in the occult or how long you've practiced it, there is always forgiveness through Jesus Christ, because his death on the cross paid for the penalty for sins, for all sins, and you cannot out-sin the grace of Christ. So if you are repentant and you want forgiveness, if you trust in Christ, you will be forgiven. It doesn't matter what sins you've committed.
My guest is Marcia Montenegro. Her website is Christian Answers for the New Age. Her book is called Spellbound, The Paranormal Seduction of Today's Kids. And if you're interested in a copy of this interview, you can contact me by email or phone. My email is help@tower2truth.net. My phone number is 610-513-5525. That's 610-513-5525. For more info on cults, my website again is tower2truth.net. And you can join us again next week for another apologetic issue facing Christianity today. And remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things.